racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, there's little doubt about it. European golfers are on fire. Hi, welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new absolute face of golf. I'm Bob Bupker, and I'm here with Jay Randolph Jr., but he's much better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And Jay, goodness, Paul Broadhurst from England. He wins the Senior PGA Championship. Molinari grabbed the BMW PGA Championship. England's Justin Rose took home the Fort Worth Invitational. Europeans, you're on fire.
No, it was a big week for him. Big kudos to Molinari, winning one of the signature championships on the European Tour. A little surprised Rory didn't get it done. Huge final round for Broadhurst. And we're going to talk about Justin Rose's just pinpoint and perfect performance down in Fort Worth.
You know, Jay, one thing I've been wanting to ask you, with your dad's rich heritage in broadcasting and in golf, did he know Ben Hogan by any chance?
Yes, he knew Nelson better. Much better. In fact, worked the 68 Masters at the 14th with Lord Byron. But he knew Hogan as well as you can know Hogan from what people have told me and your understanding. And he was a unique individual. I will tell you that my dad skipped school to go see Follow the Sun, the Ben Hogan story with Glenn Ford, and then stayed around and watched it again. So he certainly has a love and affection for Ben Hogan.
As many of us do that play this wonderful game. Speaking of wonderful developments, the Fort Worth Invitational next year is going to have a new sponsor, Charles Schwab. They signed a four-year deal. And kind of crazy, Jay, you know, the tour's new policy, players have to add a new event that they haven't played in the previous 4 years. Well, they have to do that. So poor Justin Rose, he had to add Colonial to his schedule to comply. And, well, we both know what happened, but let's give a listen now to Justin Rose.
Really, really proud of this one. This was a special victory for me. I think, obviously, just winning here at this venue, I think, is really what means so much. A tournament that, you know, you pick up the trophy, the first thing I saw was Ben Hogan's name twice. So it sort of says a lot. And I know there's many, many more there, Jack Nicklaus. So I'm very proud to be a part of that. It was a hard-fought victory. You know, for Brooks to shoot 63 and not win in the final pairing took some doing for me to win today. So it was a really fun day to be a part of. Glad that my A-game turned up when I needed it. And I'm glad that I got my mindset right at the start of the day. I kind of felt that I had to be as aggressive as the chasing pack were going to be. I knew that being four ahead gave them the opportunity to play very free and aggressive golf. So I tried to stay on the front foot as best I could today.
You know, Jay, the more we look at Justin Rose, he certainly right now seems to be in the driveway of the Hall of Fame. 9 victories, 1 major. He's probably a couple of victories and maybe one more major away from being surefire Hall of Fame.
Well, and Bob, you remember how he burst on the scene at that British Open as a young amateur, turned pro, and I don't know the exact number. It was like 21 cuts that he missed. I mean, a lot of people thought, you know, this is the European version of Ty Tryon. No offense to Ty. But, you know, this guy is, he moves now to number 3 in the world golf rankings. You know, for the last couple of years, he's kind of been the European version of Matt Kuchar. Finishing in the top 10 every week, very consistent, playing well, but not getting the victories. Well, now he's getting the victories. He ties Nick Faldo for the most PGA Tour victories since 1983 for an Englishman. And he goes into the Memorial, a place where he's won in 2010. I asked somebody on my local show on Sundays, where you join us sometimes in St. Louis, my co-host, I said, you know, how's Justin Rose not one of the 3 favorites for the Open, the U.S. Open?
Well, you know, with my extensive background at Shinnecock, yep, having been born and raised and, you know the golf course like the palm of my hand. I used to play it all the time. I, Obviously, I have a love affair for it. But when I analyze the demands of Shinnecock and then lay the blueprint of Justin Rose's game on top of what you have to do at Shinnecock, it matches up well. So he's certainly somebody that you have to consider. You know, his other U.S. Open, Jay, you know that, Marion, one of those old-style golf courses also.
Yeah, he's a precision player, and you know, he talked about, it's interesting to hear him say, you know, Brooks Koepka shoots 63 in the final round and doesn't get it done playing alongside him. Justin got off to a good start, made a couple of birdies, had a little hiccup. He just kept rolling through the round, and so did Koepka. Koepka's best finish since the win at the 2000 U.S. Open at Erin Hills, but I'm extremely, extremely impressed with the way Justin Rose is just controlling his golf ball, and that's so important at a place like Shinnecock, as you know.
Well, don't get too high on that Justin Rose horse because, well, I can't wait any longer. I'm coming out with my prediction for the 2018 U.S. Open, and it's because of a strange reason, and by no means am I going to refer to it as a dark horse or out of left field. I will pick an American that certainly will be a much longer shot, but my pick is going to be Rory McIlroy, not because of what he did at Wentworth, not because that he's already won four majors, but because he has an edge going into Shinnecock that nobody else in the field has, and that is his new caddy, Harry Diamond, spent 2 years out at Shinnecock. Harry being a great player of his own. He's from Dublin, but he spent two summers in the last few years as a caddy at Shinnecock. So can you imagine teaming up with Rory McIlroy, one of the best players in the game, and a caddy that knows every blade of grass at Shinnecock?
No, that's a dynamic package there with Rory's game, and even though he didn't get it done at the BMW, he certainly was right there. And to throw in a knowledgeable caddy that he seems to be working well with, that's going to be big. I also like the fact that Rom came back and played well at Colonial, event he likes. He finished tied for second in 2017. He finished tied for fifth. So we were talking last week about some of the guys not necessarily being on the same form that they were going into the Masters, Bob, as we had that collision course where it seemed like we had 15 guys that were at the top of their game. We're starting to see, and we'll probably see this week as we talk about it more, guys playing better at Memorial getting ready for Shinnecock. It's coming real quick.
Yeah, and we're going to discuss a little later on in the show with Alex Maselli. As a matter of fact, the question is, and I want to pose this to you, Jay, which would be the biggest story coming away from Shinnecock, whether Phil Mickelson wins and completes the Grand Slam or Tiger wins and gets number 15? In your eyes, Jay, which is the bigger one?
It should be Phil getting the Grand Slam. I mean, that's what it should be. That's rarefied air. That's unique. But as we know, with the hype, with the attention, with people on both sides of the fence for Tiger Woods, Tiger winning the U.S. Open for probably for the masses would be bigger than Phil. But I think for you and I and the, you know, the golf faithful, my goodness, winning the Grand Slam and securing, I mean, locking in a top 10 player of all time and even starting to be on the verge of top five for Phil Mickelson. When you look back to the fact that he's been with the best junior player in the world, the best collegiate player in the world, the best amateur player in the world, and won the Grand Slam. I mean, that's a hell of a question, Bob. Why'd you have to put that to me?
Well, you know, in reality, we think alike because in discussing it with Janice Self, our executive producer, I put it this way. I said that in the world, the biggest story would be Tiger Woods winning, you know, another major.
Yep.
In the United States, it would be Phil Mickelson finally completing his Grand Slam. And, you know, I think that's the way it would be. Jordan Spieth didn't play well at Colonial. He's got another shot here at Muir Field. Unless that putter comes around, I don't know how serious a threat he's going to be when we get to Shinnecock.
Yeah, I don't get it, and I don't think he gets it. It almost seems like now that it's becoming mental with him, and it's leading into his mechanics on the shorter putts. It's going to be very interesting to see if Jordan Spieth can get things straightened out before the first tee on Thursday at Shinnecock. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
Joining us now on the Vertical Groove Hotline is Alex Maselli. He's the founder and publisher of Morning Read, certainly the place that more and more golfers are going to get the inside story. Alex, my question for you this week, and you have to pick one and give me the reason why you make your selection. Which story would be bigger come Father's Day and the conclusion of the 2018 United States Open, Phil Mickelson winning or Tiger Woods winning?
Phil Mickelson winning. There's no question. I know that you're all into the Tiger Woods era thing, but the bottom line is Phil Mickelson needs to win a U.S. Open to achieve the career Grand Slam. It's the conversation we have before every U.S. Open now for, I don't know, the last 10. It's like the same conversation we have before the Masters with Rory McIlroy. It's going to be the same conversation we're going to have before the PGA with Jordan Spieth. So it's, that's the bigger thing. I mean, I know that people would be just so thrilled to see Tiger Woods win, but I don't think it's a bigger story than Phil Mickelson winning.
Well, just for your information, you may have already gotten a scouting report. I know I did. Tiger did play. Shinnecock was very pleased with what he saw. And, of course, he does have some experience there. Back in 95, he played as an amateur and had the WD after hitting it into the fescue. And in 04, he had a top 20 finish at 17. But his report yesterday was he thought it was a golf course that, you know, he would be able to manage. And it's been 10 years since that last major victory. And that's why I posed the question. I mean, I would assume there's legal, valid arguments on both sides.
Well, first of all, I would hope he could manage it. It's got 40, 50, and 60-yard wide fairways. If he couldn't manage that, then maybe he shouldn't be in the field, for goodness sakes. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I think with that golf course, the way the setup is now, depending on the speed of greens, and I'm assuming they're going to be relatively fast, meaning something around 11 to 12 on the stent meter, which is what they were never built for that, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be that fast. It's all going to be about short game. And there has been times when Tiger's shown some incredible short game this year, and there's been times when he showed just atrocious short game. So, I mean, it just depends on which short game Tiger Woods brings to Shinnecock. I think it's going to be dependent upon how well he does or doesn't play. I will say that in Phil Mickelson's case, the reason that he won his Open Championship was all about short game. He did things to Muir Field that have never been done before, and it was all with a wedge in his hand. And that's the kind of stuff that I think if he can bring that to Shinnecock is the reason why, as you mentioned, Tiger finished in the top 20 at Shinnecock in 04. What was it that Phil Mickelson finished? I can't remember. Second? Is that it?
Well, you knew that. I didn't want to rub it in your face.
But I want the listeners to understand that. So I just think that all in all, if Phil Mickelson has the short game, which he has been able to show in a lot of situations over his career, he will definitely be the guy to watch, one of the guys at least to watch at Shinnecock.
Always good to hear from the opinionated Alex talking about the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, Bob's backyard. Bob, we got some more U.S. Open news.
Well, we do have some news. June 11th is now the second deadline for players to get in the top 60 in the world rankings. And if I sound a little excited about that category, well, I am a little excited about that category because Adam Scott is fighting to get into that top 60. He's played in every major since 1999. He has a consecutive streak of 67. Sergio Garcia leading the pack at 75. But on a very selfish personal note, Adam Scott agreed to come over the house for a little barbecue the week before the U.S. Open if he gets into the field. So I'm kind of rooting for him.
I'm rooting for him, too. I want him to be there at the dinner with you and the other guys all around the country. We'll be testing their skills at sectional qualifying going on Monday. There'll be a qualifier in the Memorial area and in the Columbus area there. Obviously, Memphis has always been one of those tour qualifiers, but 11 sites across the country, one in Japan, one in England, the right to tee it up at Shinnecock. And Bob, you got some of your spies there at Shinnecock that are taking a look at the grounds.
Yeah, a friend of mine called me the other day, and he said, golly, he said, I can't believe it. He says, on the behind the 10th tee, they have a 90-foot-high grandstand. I said, 90 feet high? I said, what happens if the wind comes? He said, well, I'm telling you, it's 90 feet high. Well, 24 hours later, I get another phone call. Same friend. He says, you know that grandstand behind 10? I says, yeah. He said, well, it's only 45 feet high. They deemed it was too high, so they took the top half off. But I knew it would have been interesting had it been 90 feet. The amazing things that are going to take place at Shinnecock. How about the merchandise tent, Jay? It's going to be 37,000-plus square feet. A merchandise tent.
Wow.
So you're going to be able to buy everything. But I tell you this much, bring your wallet, that's for sure. A U.S. Open, and it's in the Hamptons. Bring your wallet.
No question about it. One of the great things about the memorial is that they honor players and people. And Hale Irwin is the honoree this year. He won 20 times and, of course, three U.S. Opens. And I do want to mention on the Golf Journalism Award to the fantastic Larry Dorman and posthumously to a guy who I got to play golf with and loved college golf, a grand fella, the late Ron Balicki. And Bob, it's always a great field at Memorial.
It really is. Of course, defending champion Jason Duffner, Justin Thomas. We were talking a little bit before we came on the air, Jay. I haven't heard too much about him lately. He's number one, the FedEx Cup standings or rankings, to be more specific. He's the number one player in the world after the Players this year. He has a top five finish at Memorial. But Justin Thomas, immense talent, certainly would be no stretch if he goes and gets the handshake from Jack Nicklaus, which is one of the highlights for the Players as they walk off the 72nd hole. If they are victorious before they get the check, before they get the trophy, they get something probably even more important, a great handshake from Jack Nicklaus. No surprise if we watch Nicklaus shaking the hand of Justin Thomas.
Yeah, or Rory McIlroy coming in from the BMW Championship. You've also got Tiger returning for the first time since 2015. Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson, Jason Day, Justin Rose, the winner last week. And great to see the veteran, the over 50 man, Kenny Perry, normally on the Champions Tour. The Vertical Groove man is playing this week. Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, who's played very well here. This is an awesome field leading up to Memphis in the U.S. Open, Bob.
Well, Jay, you and I think a lot alike, and it makes me feel good to see so many of the top players in the world going to Jack's place. This is Jack's tournament. This is his baby. They raised a ton of money for Nationwide Children's Hospital, and it's quite a tribute to Mr. Nicklaus, and I couldn't be happier.
Time for a short break, and when we return, it's time for one of our favorite segments, Groove Up with Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Welcome back to the Grill Room Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Man, I love my three wood. I love playing that three wood off the fairway or off the tee. Check it out, vertgolf.com, the new face of golf. And there were a ton of folks, Bob, at the second major of the year for the Champions Tour, the Senior PGA Championship. A wild finish, but a lot of guys using that vertical groove driver.
Yeah, they really are. And reports flooding into Grill Room headquarters about how easy that three wood is to hit. Mm. And you not only hit it where you're aiming, you hit it a little bit further than you had hoped for. Just try it out, as Jay said, vertgolf.com. Customize your own vertical groove three wood. As you said, the Senior PGA Championship just finished, and boy, oh boy, what a success from a vertical groove golf standpoint. Seven players playing vertical groove drivers and combination three woods. England's Paul Broadhurst, he was the winner. Pretty nice purse there, Jay, $585,000. And our old buddy, you and I used to have a lot of fun with him on the regular tour, Tim Petrovic. Ended up in second place, Jay, $347,000. Not too bad for somebody trying to get his feet wet out on the PGA Tour champions.
Golf's greatest mulligan, the Champions Tour, Tim Petrovic, second alone, $347,000. His old college golf coach, Lowell Lucas, the brother of Dwayne Lucas, the horse trainer. This guy's been out there battling for a long time. Congratulations to him. Wes Short Jr., who's just becoming a fixture with his vertical groove driver on the leaderboard, tying for 23rd. We mentioned Kenny Perry in our previous segment. The vertical groove ambassador is going to be teeing it up this week at Memorial. He finished 38th. Doug Garwood tied for 49th. And Rocco tied for 64th. So a lot of guys playing really well with the driver.
You know, you and I saying nice things about that vertical groove driver. Well, Tim Petrovic used it, and as you mentioned, it only earned him $347,000. I got a kick out of some other names in the field, especially Neil Lancaster. Boy, oh boy, you and I had some fun with him in the day.
Well, and then Jay Don Blake. I mean, you know, this, and also, you got to remember club pros get to play here, which is, you know, so important to our game. It's an opportunity for those guys to get to play against the guys that play week to week and measure their game, even though they're coming from the various sections across America, by qualifying at the Senior Club Professional Championship. And it's really good. You know, I wish it wasn't back-to-back majors. I wish they spread it a little bit out, but you know, a good event and a great final round from Broadhurst. The vertical groove equipment is making a big impact with the PGA Tour champion players. So if you're ready to go vertical, and as Bob said, that three wood, and I will tell you that good players will tell you time and time again, the hardest club to find in their bag is a three wood. They're always looking for a three wood, and most of them, if they've tried the vertical groove golf three wood, have found it. You can customize your order. It's real easy to do. Vertgolf.com. That's vertgolf.com.
And as a side note, we want to salute Vertical Groove Golf for offering a special promotion over the Memorial Day weekend in honor of those who served our great country and the families of those who sacrificed the most. Since it was the 2018 Memorial Day weekend, Vertical Groove drivers were available to anyone for an unbelievable price of $218. What a nice gesture of respect for our military, and we're proud to be associated with Vertical Groove Golf. Now that you've heard our opinion, let's hear from Vertical Groove's Chris Reeves. He's director of sales. I had a chance to catch up with him. On the driving range with certainly a friendly face and a very knowledgeable person in the form of Chris Reeves. And Chris, first off, recently released by Vertical Groove, the 3-wood. I know you're excited about that.
Correct. Absolutely. We launched the 3-wood. We've got a 14 degree with the weight forward, so it's a little flatter, lower trajectory for the tour guys. And then we have a 15 degree where the weight's kind of back in the head, where it's easier to launch and get up in the air. Just Kenny Perry just was hitting it and couldn't believe the turf interaction, how easy it was to hit. Even made the comment, he goes, "I didn't chunk one." And he said, "I'm known to dig a few fairway woods here and there." So that was good feedback. So we're starting to trickle a few into play. A few of the guys are tinkering around with it. So as you know, it takes a little time to get it in play before they're comfortable with it. But I'm excited. It's really a good product.
You know, the driver, with all the results are in, I mean, you definitely can hit a Vertical Groove driver further with those Vertical Grooves than any driver on the market. I would think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, when we drop down to the 3-wood, the premium has to be more on accuracy than distance?
I think it's a combination still of both, to be honest with you. We have a cup face, so it's actually one of the hottest fairway woods on the market. We push the envelope with the miraging, so it's a real thin face, so we're right at the limit. So our fairway wood actually has the same attributes as our driver, so it's still going to be long and straight. Where I had an instance with a gentleman who got our 3-wood and said, "I've been playing this course for 20 years. I've never been able to get to this par 4," and he hit it in 2 with our fairway wood. So he was excited, over the moon. You know, older gentleman, I think he was like 75, 76. So he was over the moon at how much further he was hitting our fairway wood. So I still think it's a combination of both, but accuracy definitely.
Well, you'd be interested to know, I get a phone call about 2 weeks ago from my club pro, who, you know, I've known forever. I would never say the number of years. People wouldn't believe me. But he says, "I got a complaint." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I've been playing with this guy for 20 years, and I always hit it 15, 20 yards by him. And now he put a Vertical Groove driver in his bag, and he's hitting it 20 yards by me." He says, "I don't think it's fair."
I would agree with that. I'm getting a lot of those stories. So that's exciting, and that's good to hear. You know, it really is. Hopefully he's hitting it longer and straighter. So that's what our goal is.
And, of course, Kenny Perry, getting back to him, with that landmark victory at the Senior Open last year. And he is eligible to play in this year's U.S. Open. Do you have an early prognosis whether he's going to make the trip to Long Island?
I believe he is. I would think, I wouldn't see why he wouldn't. I just keep fingers crossed that the Vertical Groove stays in his bag, but it's in the bag again this year. And, you know, like last year, we had the winner, we had second place, and we were number one in accuracy. So we had a dream week last year, and hopefully we can repeat again. You know, see if John can repeat.
Well, you can see the smile on his face and the excitement with the Vertical Groove equipment. It's unbelievable, but You actually helped me down in Florida. You gave me an explanation that I've been using on the air, Chris, and that is, you know, it's like the grooves on a tire. You wouldn't want them going left to right. You want them going in a direction. And I've used that, and people understand a lot quicker.
They do, 100%. I agree. It goes the same thing, just logic speaking. And then I've got another one for you. So the other thing, too, is you know how the club face is never delivered perfectly square all the time. What we found, too, is with the grooves, what it does is it limits the ball from sliding across the face. So hence, less side spin, which you know the ball can only spin on one axis, so it really can't have side spin, but it just doesn't ride across the face as much, so it tightens the dispersion even more. So it's exciting stuff, and I love that analogy. I think that one's a great one with the tires, you know, because it's true. You want your tires facing down the road. You don't want them going left or right. You want them going straight.
All right, we got listeners now. They're excited. They want to get a driver. They want to get a 3-wood. What's the best way for them to do that, Chris?
Absolutely. Go on www.vertgolf.com. They can customize, make their 3-wood, their driver, anything they need to do, grip, shaft, all that. So, you know, they can give us a call, and we can customize it to anything they need.
Well, that's the man that makes it happen. Chris Reeves, the director of sales for Vertical Groove Golf, a good guy to know.
Yeah, and he'll help you out. If you have any problems, don't hesitate. And I mean problems in trying to decide what loft or what shaft might be best for your game. Don't hesitate. Give Chris Reeves a call. He's only interested in one thing, and that's you playing better golf, which is exactly what you will do once you put some Vertical Groove equipment in that golf bag. All right, Jay, now we're going to make you a little jealous. You know, while we were in Dallas for the AT&T Byron Nelson, Grill Room team had a chance to sample the fine food at the ranch at Las Colinas. It's one of the best restaurants I've ever been to, and we were there courtesy of our friends at the Irving Convention Center. And after this break, you'll hear about it in my conversation with Charles Leon, the general manager of the ranch at Las Colinas.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this little gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Couldn't think of a better guest to join us in the Grill Room. He's the general manager of what I describe as possibly the best restaurant in the United States. It's called The Ranch at Las Colinas. Pretty impressive credentials for Charles Leon. He's the general manager there. Attended Washington University and has an MBA from there. So you have now chosen as your life's vocation, Charles, putting smiles on people's faces, because you got to lead the league. I watched everybody that left the other night when we were in there. They were smiling. We certainly were smiling. That's got to be a good feeling when you're the general manager of a restaurant and your clientele leaves satisfied.
It's well, thanks for having me on, first of all. Yes, and it is a great feeling. You know, the hospitality industry, sometimes we forget about the hospitality end. And as you noted, you know, you can stand out there on the front entryway and you just see people just surprised and happy and, you know, in such a great mood when they leave. And that is a good feeling. And it's nice to know that maybe we played some small part in it. You know, our staff, very tuned into the needs of our guests. We have a very unique menu. It's a beautiful building. It's been here, gosh, 9 years, almost 10 years now. And we try to keep things fresh and exciting and entertaining for everybody.
It's actually two different settings. Am I right? I mean, there's where one called the saloon and then one called the restaurant?
It's really three if you look at it from completely across one side to the other. We have the interior of the restaurant, which is our inside or the main dining room. And we also have a couple of smaller satellite rooms that are part of the inside package. Then we have our porch, which is an enclosed porch, air-conditioned and heated. It's reminiscent of a dance hall saloon, wood floors. We've got ceiling fans and some old neon signs up. This is where we have our live music every night. They have a stage. And then a few steps past that is the patio. And that is an open-air seating, alfresco dining. And it's very, very popular when the weather is nice. And so you've really got a choice of three different areas. And then you can subdivide those even further. You know, the main dining room is a big cavernous room. You can overlook the bar and overlook the kitchen in one area. And then the other circular rooms can be used as private dining. And we use them as normal dining tables for guests who come in.
We're speaking with Charles Leon, the general manager of the ranch at Las Colinas. All right, your secret is farm to table. For our listeners, explain exactly what that means, Charles.
What the term means is you have a direct link from the small farmers directly to your restaurant. So we have relationships with farmers and ranchers all across the state, and we make it a point to buy their products specifically. There's a gentleman over here in Stephenville. That's where we get our herbs from. We get some tomatoes from Canton. Goat cheese comes from Cleveland. Where else? Wild boars, generally from the Hill Country. The Akaishi beef that we buy is from Flatonia. So we make direct contact with these purveyors, and we do our best to keep them in business by buying their product. We do our best to get Texas producers, and that's really what we look for, these small guys. Here's a good example. There's a small mom-and-pop shop in Rowlett that is a candy store. It's called the Sweet House, and they produce an ice cream. And the ice cream is an old grandmother's recipe, and they opened up this little store, and our corporate executive chef found this little couple. And now we're buying all of our ice cream from them. And it's a huge boon for them, and it's a really unique product that we can offer, you know, on a daily basis. They're able to keep up with our demand, and it's a wonderful, wonderful product, and we're proud to sell it.
That's a prime example of the attention to detail. And it continues. Not only is the food absolutely incredible, Charles, I have to compliment you on your wait staff. I mean, they just seem to enjoy working there. They make all the clients feel very comfortable, and as I said, it really is very refreshing to see people as they exit the ranch at Las Colinas with that big smile on their face.
We make it a point to bring in people who understand the importance of being nice. I mean, you can really go anywhere and have somebody walk up to the table and, you know, ask you, what do you want? And then bring you a drink and a steak and then walk away and you never see them again. For us, it's a little more important to have some genuine Texas hospitality. We like for our staff's personalities to shine through. We want them to make people feel welcome. And, you know, quite a bit of our business is the business traveler. You know, somebody coming in from a snowstorm in the Northeast, they come down here and it's beautiful weather and people are smiling and running around in cowboy boots and yeehaw and you know, then bringing you a great steak and wine and drinks on top of that. I mean, that's got to put a smile on anybody's face, don't you think?
Absolutely. And you do work closely with the Irving Convention Center. And I think there's some marvelous people there. And in closing, I'm going to say if anybody's listening and they want a place for a private party or even a wedding reception, the ranch at Las Colinas is your best bet. Charles Leon, General Manager, taking time out to join us in the grill room. We really appreciate the hospitality and the quality of the food was outstanding. I'm just a little upset that it's going to be a whole year before we're able to come back and cover the Byron Nelson and pay another visit to the ranch at Las Colinas.
There's no reason you have to wait. We are here, and doors always open and welcome for you. And it's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show, and thank you, sir.
Well, Bob, that sounds like a heck of a place, the ranch at Las Colinas. There are a lot of wonderful restaurants in the Metroplex, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but this one sounds real special.
It really is special, Jay. Matter of fact, the food there is so good. It now, the AT&T Byron Nelson, that's my fifth major of the year, so I can go eat at the ranch. If you're in the area, try it out.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.